Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
You know, it's not very exciting to watch radio, but if you'd like, you can go to WGNradio.com and watch radio. You can click the icon that says listen now or one that says watch now. Now, I mention all that because I am wearing a T-shirt that says American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. Those are the specialists, of which we only have a handful in Chicago. These are veterinarians who specialize, just like veterinarians or human doctors may specialize in neurology or cardiac medicine, ophthalmology. There is a specialty for animal behavior, and behavior is why I do this show. I'm a certified animal behavior consultant. I'm here to help you, 312-981-7200. You can text, you can call. 312-981-7200. I have a question about a 14-year-old cat that I'll get to in a moment. Now, I mention that because I was headed off to Washington, D.C. to attend the meeting of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists, and others hold a forum every year right before the convention of the American Veterinary Medical Association, which I had the honor to once again speak at. So I'm about to leave for D.C., where this event happens to be, and I get a call from Illinois State Representative Diane Pappas. Now, Diane Pappas has become a friend. I've gotten to know her just a bit because she is the representative who worked on the fire safety bill. Remember back in January, you've heard me talk about this perhaps, where sadly, shockingly, 30 dogs, I believe, were lost in a fire in West Chicago, a kennel fire. There were too many dogs in the kennel. You can call and comment about that if you'd like, but I couldn't do anything about that because that was the case already. The DuPage County State's Attorney's offices and the operator of that kennel is now up for a variety of, I believe, only misdemeanor charges. And I stand here publicly saying, yes, hooray for DuPage County for taking it seriously enough to do that. That's better than most. Having said that, I don't know. I'm not a judge, jury, or a prosecutor, but it seems felony might be a better way to describe it, in which the way the dogs were kept in the first place. But in any case, he left the premises, the caretaker did, and a fire began. I don't know, and they still don't know how it began. Undetermined causes is what they say. And I'm not a fire inspector, couldn't do anything about that. But what I thought I could do, knowing these kennel fires happen all over, I mean, they do. It's not only the tragedy that happened in West Chicago, they happen all over the country. So I contacted Humane Society of the United States. I said, we need a bill. And they said, you know, we never thought about this issue, but you're right. So now there's a bill, which, going back to Diane Pappas, she made sure, kind of held the hand of legislators. It did go through the House unanimously passed in the Senate. And that bill indicates that in kennels in Illinois, from moving forward, you must have a fire alarm system that rings directly to first responder. You must have a sprinkler system, or you must have a human being there on the premises. And I'm told that Governor Pritzker is actually excited about signing this. We were supposed to have a bill signing, which goes back to my story. So that's what I get the text about, that there will be a bill signing yesterday morning, Saturday morning. So I rearrange my flight. United Airlines, thank you. So the woman who I spoke to at United Airlines had heard about this. You know, you might get someone when you call United Airlines who lives in Chicago. And I did. And she knew, of course, about the bill. She knew about WGN Radio. And she was so nice. So thank you. It turns out I didn't need to get back as quickly as I did because they postponed the bill signing. They're going to reschedule it. It will happen. This bill will become law. That's what's most important to me. And in fact, other states have already, I'm told, expressed interest in doing the same thing. So we go from zero states to hopefully a year from now, at least a handful or more. And 5 years from now, maybe every state providing fire protection of some kind for animals in kennels. I mean, we go away on vacation. We go away for the weekend. We go away for a day. It could be doggy daycare. And we entrust those kennels with our family members, right? Speaking of fires, I've got another story here of a tragedy that occurred. It could have been much worse. Touched by an animal executive director, Melanie Schoendorf, is here to talk about it. And it should be Schoendorf, I believe, right?
Yes, that's Schoendorf.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Good morning to you, Melanie.
Good morning.
So tell us the story about what happened.
Well, we often take in animals that have had some kind of tragedy, whether it's an elderly person that had to go into a home or, you know, a homeless person who had to lose their pet. But we had a firefighter. His name was Bill May from the South Side. And he came to us with two cats that had been involved in a house fire. I don't know if they were stray at the time or if they were the homeowner's cat, but there was a terrible, terrible fire. And when they were going through the fire, he saw them and he was able to rescue them. And one of them came out okay, just mostly, you know, singed fur, but the other one was in very bad shape, had a broken leg with sores all over. Half of her tail had been burned off and was raw. She had sores all over her face, so she was in just awful shape. And he brought them all the way from the South Side to us and asked us if there was any way we could, you know, take care of them. So we took them in and gave them care and food. And we named the one that was in bad shape May. And we found out that when we took her in for vet care that she was pregnant. So we waited through her pregnancy to see how things were going to go. And the vet thought that there was only one, but it ended up that she had seven little kittens that were pretty badly, well, when they were born, they were not healthy at all. They really struggled to survive, and we did everything we possibly could to keep them alive, but only two of them survived.
Well, and, aside from going through the trauma of the fire and probably the smoke that Mom took in, aside from all that, you know, when we know that when there's poor nutrition involved, that when there's a litter that large, that all of them probably will not survive.
Right, and we weren't even sure the two smallest ones were going to survive, but they were real fighters. And one of them seems to have maybe lost an eye, like in the birth, but is healthy and is moving around and climbing, and they're about 5 weeks old now. And they seem to be strong enough that we are keeping our fingers crossed that going forward they're going to be healthy enough to be able to find a good home for them.
Well, that's great. So if you're interested in adopting cats in general, or these two cats, and a nice story, you know. So I wanted to say good morning to all of you with an upbeat story, and this is, because we hear so much doom and gloom. Touched by an angel. How can I, well, you are angels, but that's not what I meant to say. Touched by an animal.
Yes.
That's the name of the show, but you're angels. You are. How do people reach out to you?
They can give us a call at 773-728-6336 or look up our website, touchedbyananimal.org.
Touchedbyananimal.org. Thank you very much, Melanie. Good story and a story of survival. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. And what I didn't ask Melanie, but I know it's the case, these cats, kittens, are already spayed, neutered, and that's all included in the adoption fee. The early vaccinations they receive included in the adoption fee. I mean, that's always the case at any shelter. In fact, at this behavior meeting, a lot of interesting sessions, but one of them from Dr. Janine Berger. She's a veterinary behaviorist out of San Francisco, and they were able to identify some cats and kittens, but mostly adult cats that came in that the owners relinquish these animals, that said, okay, we know this cat is urinating or defecating outside the litter box. So what they did is they provided the litter that the cat said, I want. They did an elimination, you know, so they offered several different litters, and whatever the cat chose, the cat got, offered the cat just obviously time away from the other environment that the cat was previously in. Unfortunately, the human-animal bond with that family had fractured, but they were able to retrain the cats to the boxes. The question is, okay, in the new home, once adopted, will the cat continue to use the box? And the answer to that, incidentally, was absolutely yes, that did happen. So the point of that story is that you, well, several points to that story. You know, we think of cats and dogs at animal shelters as being damaged in some way. I mean, who knows why the cat was urinating or defecating outside the box? I mean, maybe they had six cats in one box. In a lot of cases, there's a medical issue that people don't consider. So Dr. Berger, that veterinary behaviorist who presented all this, happily that particular facility in San Francisco has veterinarians on staff and resources to be able to treat such problems. So it may have been a medical issue in the first place that the family didn't even consider. So once that's rectified, the cat happily goes back to using the litter box. But for whatever the reason, the cat once adopted, proving old cats can learn new tricks, then goes ahead and uses the litter box. Our phone number, we have time for calls, which I always don't. So I have time for your telephone calls, your text, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. By the way, you can hear my podcast, and that is Steve Dale's Other World, where I talk about things, believe it or not, other than pets, and I do that every now and again. WGN Radio, this is Steve Dale's Pet World, and good morning, Sharon.
Yes, hi, how are you?
I am great, thank you very much. How can I help you?
I have a 17-year-old Shih Tzu who recently developed epilepsy, and he's starting to fade a little bit, but I'm wondering, you know, is there a prognosis? Do they last a long time once they develop this at an older age? He's been relatively healthy his whole life, never had any issues, and then he started going into seizures.
Well, it depends what the cause of the epilepsy is. So I am a certified animal behavior consultant. I'm not a veterinarian, so ultimately this is a question you need to ask your veterinarian, but I will say this. It depends on the cause. So epilepsy can have a very specific cause, particularly in older animals. However, in general, it is what we call idiopathic epilepsy, which means, essentially, we don't know why it's happening. And if that is the case, that's good news in that with medication, your dog will probably do fine. And I suspect you've talked to your veterinarian about all of this.
Yeah, he's been to a neurologist, and they don't find any tumors or anything.
Good.
It's, you know, and they put him on prednisone and that. But I just got a new puppy, and they seem to be getting along fine.
The part about the new puppy has nothing to do with any of this. So
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So the fact that, if a neurologist, a veterinary neurologist who would be expert in all this, says everything's okay, that totally means everything is okay. And I would go with whatever the veterinary neurologist is telling you. And if you've done that brain scan that you're talking about and there's no tumor, which is what could be the cause potentially, but rarely in an older animal, which is a whole different ball of wax than what appears to be the case with your dog, which is idiopathic epilepsy. And if that's the case, what sometimes happens, how often are the seizures?
Well, if he's on the medication round the clock, he doesn't have any breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. Without the medication, then, you know, he'll have a seizure. But as long as he's on it, he doesn't have any.
Okay. You know, I mean, talk to your veterinarian about using prednisone for a very long time, but dogs do handle it better than people do. That's a steroid, and, you know, people have side effects to that. Dogs can, too, and I don't want you to have a diabetic dog, and there are other medications. But again, I absolutely, totally would defer to a veterinary neurologist.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you for listening as well. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You could text me at that same number, 312-981-7200. It is the morning of older animals. Steve, there's a text. My 14-year-old cat, Monroe, is now walking across my head at 3 a.m. That's why I'm up hearing your show. That's the only reason? Oh, that's too bad. What does he want? Well, I would think about medical first. You know, this is a 14-year-old animal who's never done this before. So whenever you have an animal, a dog or a cat, a parrot, a ferret, it doesn't matter, that is expressing a behavior that is just different for that animal, particularly if it's an animal that you've had for some time, and you know this is not the usual normal behavior for that individual, I'd say there's a reason for it. Now, the reason may be anxiety or something related to behavior. That's one bucket. But the first bucket that I definitely would look at is medical. So is something going on with this 14-year-old cat that might explain, it could be pain, it could be hyperthyroid disease. So if this cat is acting, even though the cat is 14 years old, and, you know, today's 14 is yesterday's 18, right? Cats are living longer than ever before. So are many of our dogs. So if this 14-year-old cat seems really active, even more active than usual, go to the veterinarian tomorrow and tell your veterinarian that, and your veterinarian will know exactly what I'm talking about. Could be hyperthyroid disease, could be diabetes, it could be, I mean, the list goes on. Gastrointestinal issues, I mean, on and on and on. Kidney disease. So it could be something is metabolically going on with your cat. But it could also be that your cat has trained you. So when your cat walks across your head, assuming it did not just start this morning, what do? Do you get up and feed the cat? Do you give your cat attention? If that's the case, the cat has said, aha, I can get food, I can get loving, I can get something if I do this. Besides, I'm bored, I slept so much during the day. So what sometimes helps, if that is the case, what sometimes helps is simply giving your cat a bedtime snack. I mean, don't add to the total food intake. We don't want an overweight cat when all of this is done. But just like you have a snack before bedtime, you feel a little more drowsy. Also, exercise the cat a bit. Take out an interactive cat toy, you know, a fishing pole type toy with feathers or fabric, and play with the cat a couple of minutes, then feed the cat before bedtime. And when I mean a couple minutes, I mean a couple minutes. Cats don't need 30-minute play sessions. That's not necessary. Margaret, how come there's a name on this one? I'm glad there is. Congratulations. Oh, that's nice. Congratulations to the passing and future signing of the Safe Pets Bill. Hopefully quickly. I think she's referring to what I was talking to about the Fire Safety Act being soon signed by the governor. And there'll be another Animal Welfare Act that he will sign as well. Margaret is in Bridgeport. Let's see. I've got another one here. I've just got to be able to move my mouse. Pet Show Mouse. Steve, good morning. We're having trouble with our 10-year-old. Whoops. Where did it go? I'm getting so many texts that they keep bumping up. We're having trouble with our, you know, as one comes in, the one you're reading just moves, and they keep coming in. We're having trouble with our 10-year-old English bulldog with sundowning. I have no idea what that is. Sundowning. Don't know. I apologize. I don't know what it is. I should read these first, I suppose, but I'm trying to read them or keep up the best I can as they come in. Steve, your show is not long enough, blah, 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 blah. Our 16-year-old, thank you. I appreciate always, and I don't usually read these. I appreciate the kind words that each and every week you offer. Our 16-year-old Yorkshire Terrier, Sandy, is deaf and slowing down. Do you have any suggestions to help enhance life for her. Yeah, that's a tough one. So the good news is that no one is telling your dog how your dog should be feeling. And dogs and cats and other animals are remarkably resilient. They just do what they can to live every day the best life that they can. In fact, I would argue that we can learn a lot about aging from them. They don't get up in the morning saying, "Jay, when I was 6 years old, I was able to chase those squirrels." They just don't do that. People do, if you once chased squirrels, I don't know. So you can relate to the dog. First of all, the dog, you have a relationship with this dog, Sandy, obviously. You've had this dog for a very long time. So the human-animal bond is very much intact. The dog is, I'm sure, continuing to look at you for direction and information. So that's the good news. And you can communicate with a deaf dog using signaling. Dogs really do pay attention to what we say. Moreover, how we say it is much more important. But more important than any of that is what we do, our signaling. So dogs do learn very, very quickly. If we were to say sit and go ahead and say it, but put your hand up sort of from your belt buckle or your waist up to your chest, and that sort of motion that dog trainers you've seen use, and say sit, your dog will understand the hand signal pretty quickly. Dogs are really good at doing that, at understanding our movements and our gestures. I hope that's a start anyway. And just kind of go with the flow. Again, you know your dog is aging. Your dog doesn't quite as much. I'm going to try to get more of these in. In humans, sundowning is a symptom of Alzheimer's, says Mary. Thank you, Mary. I didn't know that. So dogs and cats can get what is called either canine or feline cognitive dysfunction syndrome, and that is a version of Alzheimer's that can happen in animals. And I'll tell you what, I'm out of time, but what I will do is I will, in the post-show video, talk a bit more about cognitive dysfunction in dogs and cats, and on my blog at stevedale.tv. So I'll post the show later today or tomorrow, and on my blog I will describe the what you should look for to determine if your dog or cat may be suffering from cognitive dysfunction syndrome. Next week, the author of this guy is great. The author of Lions and Tigers and Hamsters: What Animals Large and Small Taught Me About Life, Love, and Humanity. And you wouldn't believe what he once did with a rhinoceros. I'm sure he'll talk about it. Dr. Mark Goldstein.